talking about matters of the heart. And I'm going to assume everybody has one. So that means that this series is relevant to all of us because we do. We all have a heart. We have that part inside of us, don't we? Every single one of us. It's you can't put a finger on it. It's really untangible. If we were to cut you open, we would not be able to find it, but we know it's there because oftentimes it gets broken, doesn't it? I mean, it's that part of you that watches the news and you see somebody in devastation, or you know of someone locally who goes through a tragedy, and you look at that situation and you say, my heart goes out to them. It's that part of the inside of you that makes you up. And what we've said as we've looked at the Bible is that it teaches most definitely and very specifically that the heart of a person is what drives your whole life. Everything that you do, everything that you say. In fact, Jesus said, you know, not only do our words come from our heart, but we live from our heart, we love from our heart, we learn from our heart, we lead from our heart, we parent from our heart, we decide how we're going to spend our money from our heart, that our heart just drives our life. So because of that, we aren't surprised when we find this verse of Scripture in the Bible that we've been putting to memory, Proverbs 4:23, that says this, above all else, say it with me, above all else, guard your heart, for it is what? It is the wellspring of life. Solomon, wisest man who ever walked the planet that was totally human, says that above all the stuff that I'm going to tell you about, and he talked about a lot of amazing things, he said, listen, I want you to understand there is one thing that you have to make sure that you do. You have to make sure that you develop the habit of monitoring and guarding your heart. And what we've said so far is that what we've learned to do, instead of guarding our hearts, is that we have learned to monitor our behavior, have we not? We've learned that in order to get by in life, there are certain things that you can say with certain people or certain groups or certain crowds. I mean, isn't it true that our language and tone often changes when we come to church? Because of the filter, right? And we've learned what we've said, what we can say, and what we can do in order to get by. And many times, what we've learned the hard way, we've kind of, you know, put to the test. But the problem is with all that is that no one has ever really taught us how to guard our hearts. So Solomon and Jesus, two pretty good people to start with as far as wisdom goes, these guys together said, listen, the heart is a really big deal. It's really a big deal because everything in your life flows out of your heart. And obviously, if we do not learn how to monitor our heart, we're going to get into trouble because that filter that we have learned to develop since we were young, that filter that we've learned that, you know, to kind of put over our thoughts and our behavior in order to get by, what happens is that filter sometimes begins to wear out or it grows thin. And then in the heat of an emotional moment, what happens is that whatever it is that we've been filtering pops through that filter and it comes out and it kind of gets us into trouble sometimes. And what we've been talking about is that as a result of not monitoring our hearts, eventually what we've been storing in there grows and it grows and it grows. And at the beginning of the series, I gave you some verses that are very important, some verses that we ought to memorize. And then last week, what we began to do is we began to talk about some things that have a tendency to get stuck or lodged in our hearts. And as a result, it drives our lives. It drives our behavior. It drives our speech. And so last week, we began to talk about this creepy, crawly thing called guilt, right? And we said that guilt basically says this. Guilt says, I owe you, which is why when we are guilty of doing something, that we will go to somebody and we'll say, I owe you an apology because we owe them something. And the only way to get rid of guilt is to deal with it, to bring it out into the open. The only way to deal with guilt is to go to somebody and to ask them for, you know, to forgive you so that they can cancel that debt. Because if they don't cancel the debt, and if you don't make restitution somehow, then you have to walk around living with that guilt your whole life. And so one of the greatest habits that you and I can develop is the habit of bringing things into the open because, as the Bible says, the way to deal with guilt is through this great concept coming out of the mind of God called confession. That we are to grows bigger and it gets messier with time. And we talked about how confession can be a tough thing to do. And it is, isn't it? It's tough. And when we confess it, whatever it is that we've done and we're guilty of, it can complicate our lives initially. But we have to remember this, and this is very important. It's not confession that complicates our life. It's sin that complicates our life. The way to remedy it and to begin to remedy it is through confession. And this, because the sin of living with secrets is what makes your life more complicated and you end up suffering more consequences. And so one of the best things we can do for our hearts is just to bring it out in the open and to confess it. Now today I want to talk about something that isn't quite as obvious as guilt. Every one of us have experienced guilt on some level. I want to talk about today this thing called jealousy. Now there's a monster, right? Jealousy. And jealousy is difficult. Because when you talk about jealousy, we tend to think that's kind of a problem you have when you're a kid, right? When you want a toy that some other kid has, or you want a bike, or whatever it may be. But as you get older, this whole idea of admitting that we're jealous and we're envious, I mean, we're just not going to do it as adults for the most part. I mean, I'll admit that I'm angry. I'll admit that I'm cynical. I'll admit that I'm guilty. But for me to look at you and come up to you and say, you know, I think what my problem is, I'm just jealous of you. We just don't do that. And the reason we don't do that is because if we did, we think that people would look back at us and say, you just need to grow up. Right? So here's what we do. First of all, none of us would probably admit that we have any jealousy in our hearts. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But for those of us that would admit to that, we don't want to go public with it and bring it out into the light because it seems like it's something that you ought to just get over because it's such an elementary school idea, this thing of jealousy. But the truth is that all of us deal on some level with this issue of envy and jealousy. I can prove that. There is someone in your life and you don't like them. There is somebody in this church and you don't like them. And you aren't even sure why you don't like it. Now stay with me. But if you were to dig into that and examine your heart, you don't like them because in some area and in some way, and it may be minor, you think that they are ahead of you in something. Or they have something that you don't have. Or they have somebody that you didn't get. Or you wish you had their job and their pay and their children. And why anybody would want anybody's children. Beats me. But you don't want to say that, so your emotional response, instead of saying, I'm jealous, is to say, I just don't like them. But if you were to dig into it and really examine the heart, a big part of the reason you don't like them is because you're somewhat envious or you're somewhat jealous, and the closer you get to them, the worse you feel about you, and this is a terrible thing to see in yourself. And so as a result, we don't deal with jealousy. What we do is we tend to avoid people that we tend to be jealous of, and we say really silly things, don't we? I mean, goofy things like, she's just too nice. Don't you just hate it? She smiles all the time. I can't stand that. She's too sweet. Nobody's that sweet. She's so plastic. She's so Barbie dollish. I'm just not even comfortable around her. You ever hear remarks like that? Or here's one. Here's one that everybody in this room has said at some point in some way, form, or fashion. They've said it like this. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If I had as much money as they have, I certainly wouldn't have spent it like that. If I had as much money as they have, I'll tell you, I would not have bought one of those. Let me give you a clue about you and me. First of all, you don't know what you would do if you had that much money. Secondly, you haven't done the things in order that you can have that much money. And thirdly, you know, the reality is, with an attitude like that, you're probably never going to have that much money. I mean, that's just the way it is. So we don't know what we do. But isn't it true that you look at people and you're critical because they bought something or they have something or they live in something? And you don't want to say that you're envious or you're jealous. We want to say, here's what we want to say. Well, I'm just a better manager than them. I'm a better steward than they are. I'm a little bit more frugal with my money. I wouldn't live my life that way. But there's something about those people that just kind of get to you. Chances are, you're envious. chances are you're jealous. And we cover it over, don't we? We cover it over using some other terms. And what we do is we cover it over with, I just don't like them. Because to some degree, here's the problem. They are a reflection of something that we are not and wish we were. And unfortunately, you reflected it back on them as if somehow it's their problem. It's their problem. And when we do this, what we do, and everybody in this room has done this at some point, we play what's called the fairness game. Have you ever done that? Where we say, it's just not fair. My husband works as hard as her husband. It's just not fair. My kids went to school every day. My kids applied themselves, did the best they could every day, and yet their kids got the awards. It's not fair. It's just not fair. They've lived here longer than we have. They have better connections than we have. That's why they always get that. It's not fair. They just happen to get here first. And again, we distance ourselves from certain people, and we hide our envy and jealousy behind it's not fair. And the truth is, and you're smart enough to get this, you don't really want what's fair, do you? Because you know what's fair? What's fair is that, let's say, if you really want to be fair about things, that overnight in this country, that there would automatically be an equal distribution of wealth and talent and ability and health. That's what would be fair. And the truth is, if we got what's fair, a lot of us in this room would have to go a step backwards. And so we don't want what's fair. I don't want what's fair. What I want is I want more. Right? That's what I want, to at least be even with you, but usually a little bit more ahead. Right? See, we cover it with fairness, but if God were to come down here physically today and stand on this platform and say, you want fair? I'll give you fair. I'd be the first to say, no. I don't want fair. Because if I get fair, I might have to go backwards, and I want to go forwards. But we do that because we have to have an excuse for the crud that's in our heart. We do that because we have to have an excuse for this junk that's inside of us. And I don't really want to take an honest look at it, because if I do, I might come to the conclusion that I'm really just jealous. Now, the thing about jealousy that is so weird is that, and I want you to hear me on this because this is important, is that even if you had more, it would never fix your problem. Because I want you to understand, this is a heart issue. This is not a circumstance issue. And I can prove that. Let's say suddenly that you had all the stuff that you wanted, and you lived in what you wanted to live in, and you drove what you really wanted to drive, and you could wear what you really want to wear, and your kids could have, and on and on and on. Here's the reality. You'd still be a jealous person. You want to know why? Because it's a heart issue. What happens is you would just take it to another level. Because there's always a bigger fish. There's always somebody that has more. There's always somebody's kids that are smarter. There's always somebody that's better looking, right? I mean, that's just true. So, you know, that's not really the problem. There's always somebody who is in a position above you no matter where you are on the scale. In our world, we think it's a people issue. We think it's him. We think it's her. We think that it's a category. You know, all those rich people, all those athletic people, and all those skinny people. Right? Don't we hate skinny people? You know why we hate skinny people? We're jealous. That's why. And all that kind of just raises insecurity in us. And we don't like them, but it's a heart issue. It's an envy thing. It's a jealousy. Now, we look at it, and we think that, I don't understand, Sammy, what's the big deal? Well, according to the Scripture, and according to Jesus, and according to a lot of other people that wrote God's Word, it's a huge deal. Because the Scripture tells us over and over and over that jealousy rots us from the inside out. Now, if you're new to church here, and maybe you're new to Christianity, maybe you haven't been coming here for very long, maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, I knew all that. Tell me something I don't know. What I'm going to do is I'm going to dig a little deeper. And I'm going to offer to you today some solutions for jealousy, because since I have this whole thing figured out in my life, right? Yeah, you laugh because you know I don't, right? We're all on a journey together. But we're going to look at it. Here's the thing, and here's what I want you to understand. The dilemma is this with jealousy. I think that you're my problem, and you think that I'm your problem. And somehow, if I can just distance myself from you, then I will be okay. But the truth is, and this is what I want you to get. This is so big. The truth is, you're not my problem. And the reason that I know that you're not my real problem is this. You can't fix my problem. You just can't. There is nothing that you can do, hear me on this, to solve my jealousy. The problem is we get so messed up with these emotions that we blame this stuff in our heart on other people, so we mistreat other people and we remove ourselves from certain groups because we think they are the problem. But the reason I know that you're not my problem is that there is nothing that you can do to solve my problem. I mean, the only thing that you could do to address my problem with jealousy is the thing that reminds me of it. And let me explain that to you for a moment. See, one of the things that makes a jealous person feel a little bit better about themselves is what? Do you know what that is? It's when the person that they're jealous of fails. Then that makes me feel a little bit better about myself, right? If I see somebody that I'm a little jealous of and they fail, then I think, well, maybe I can be their friend, right? You're telling me he wrecked that awesome car? I'm so sorry. I mean, really, I am. I mean, that's how we do this. Did you see her at the pool this year after she had that baby? I mean, I feel so much better about myself now. I mean, this is the nastiness, is it not? The nastiness of jealousy. The only thing that somebody else can do to make you feel better is for them to fail, for them to lose something. I mean, this is terrible to say out loud, but it's true. And everyone in here has probably had that moment in your life, in time, where you heard something bad about the person that you were envious or that you were jealous of, and what came out of your mouth is, you look at him and you went, I am so sorry. And inside you're going, yes! I'm glad you failed. You always get everything that you want. And then this is what you may have thought after you felt that way. You know, I shouldn't feel this way. Where in the world did that come from? You know where it came from? It came from your envious, jealous heart. That's where it came from. What I'm saying is that the people that bring jealousy and envy to the surface in you, they are not your problem, because the problem is not really with them. It's with something else that has gone really wrong. Now, to illustrate what that is, I need some volunteers. I need 3 volunteers, okay? Don't everybody raise their hand. Here, this will get you to raise your hand. I am giving away, as God is my witness, a $50 gas card. Who wants a $50 gas card? Okay. Polly, get on up here. Who we got? Clint's coming up. I need one more. Zach, I knew you'd be the first one up here. Come up here and stand right across here for just a moment with me. Come right over here, right in front of this table. See, I knew that's what would happen. I knew that would work. You can always get volunteers when you're giving something good away. Now, see, now, I may not teach a lot about the Bible, but he gives gas cards away, right? Well, introduce yourself real quick. Tell everybody who you are. Your name is? Clint Lopez. And Zach Pergram. We're glad to have you guys up. Thank you for volunteering. It's always good to get something when you come to church other than just a sermon, right? That's always a good thing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a gift, okay? I'm going to give you a gift, and I hope that you can enjoy it. Now just stand, no, face that way. Don't leave looking around. That's not good. Let me see. I'm going to make a decision here. And so here's what I'm going to decide. You look green to me. You look red to me. And you look blue. I don't know why. I just, you know, blue is my favorite color. But that's the decision that I made. Now, what I want you to do is we'll start down here with Zach. Zach, I want you to open up and see what you get. Now, I told you I was giving away a gas card, but what did you get? Yeah. It could be. Well, the idea is if you happen to drive a vehicle that's maybe kind of like Tim Vance's, it could actually hold your vehicle together. Yeah. So everybody needs a roll of duct tape, right? Now, Clint, I want you to open up what you have and you show everybody what you got, because, you know, we'll see what it is here. Don't be scared. What is that?
Car air fresheners.
That's a valuable tool. If you don't use them in your car, you can always rub them on the kids. Okay, now that's good. So what that means is, Polly, you're smiling. Guess what? Open up your gift. What'd you get? You got the $50 gas card. That's great. Now, stay with me for a minute. I want to tell you. Here's why this is important. Now, Clint volunteered. He came up here. Zach volunteered, and he came up here. And they didn't get what Polly got. Now, let me ask you. Do they have mad at Polly? I mean, if they're going to be mad at anybody, who should they be mad at? Who gave them the gifts? Who made the decision? See, I knew what was in the red bag. I knew what I was giving to Polly. I made that decision. So they don't have any reason to be mad at each other. Who they need to be mad at is me. And then there's all of you, some of you who raised your hand. I didn't pick you at all. You ought to be really ticked off today. You didn't get anything. You didn't even get any duct tape. You got nothing. So then you have to be really upset. So here's the idea. There's no reason for you to be mad at or upset with Polly because she's not the one that gave you the gift. That would be silly. The person to be upset with is me. So when you get home, write me the email, okay? All right, you guys can go now. Give them a big hand. All right, now with that in mind, stay with me. This is really important. Do you know who the real issue is with when you're jealous of somebody? See, what jealousy is you think God owes you something. You think that God gave something to somebody else that he should have given to you. That's what jealousy is. That everything that everybody else got, why did it go to them? It should have gone to me. Ultimately, it has nothing to do with rich people and beautiful people and athletic people. Your problem is not with them. As long as you think that your problem is with them, you'll never begin to resolve your jealousy because they aren't your problem. They can't solve your problem. Your problem is with God. You think God ripped you off and gave what he should have given to you to somebody else because God could have given you something different. He could have given you a better brain. He could have given you better physical looks. He could have given you wealthier parents. God could have kept that person from dying or that person from leaving. He could have. But when he was handing out boxes and when he was handing out gifts, you got the air freshener and they got the $50 gift card. And it's not, here it is, fair. It's not fair. Now here's a news flash for you. And you may never come back to church. I'm a realist. You may never come back to church again, but I want you to understand this. Read his word. God never claimed to be fair. Fairness left the building with the Garden of Eden. Fairness is gone. And what God has decided to do with whatever he has is his choice. You may not like it, but that's who God is. He can do and have the distribution of things as he chooses. And we have no say in that. That's just life. And throughout the Bible, throughout the Old and the New Testament, this is taught very clear. I'm just going to point out a couple of verses that maybe you've never heard before. There's a lot of verses on jealousy, but here's a couple. Daniel chapter 4, there is King Nebuchadnezzar, who's a secular king. And even he recognizes this. In verse 35, here's what he says about God. He says, God does as he pleases. He, meaning God, does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? Nobody can do that. Nobody can look at him and say, why did you give that to her? Or why did you give that to him? And what have you done? This pagan king in this story comes to the realization that God does whatever God wants to do, and he distributes power and wealth to whoever he decides. And nobody has the right to say, hey, God, that's not fair. He got more. This king even recognizes that. And it's not a matter, hear me on, it's not a matter of God's lack of love for you. It's not even a matter of him liking someone else more than you. That's just how it is. And it's that way because he's the divine planner. And he knows what's best. And yes, there is a connection. If some of you are sitting there thinking, well, wait a minute, what about hard work and discipline? Yes, there is the connection of hard work and discipline and all that. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is God distributes things the way that he wants to. I want you to listen to what David wrote in 1 Chronicles 29:12. He said, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. And later on in that passage, he says, to whomever you choose to give it. In the New Testament, there is this incredible passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 where it talks about God giving out different spiritual gifts to different people. And he says there's a gift of service and a gift of giving, which means you have the ability to give. The gift of wealth, of making money. There's the gift of hospitality. There's the gift of leadership. There's the gift of service. And there's all these incredible gifts. And at the end of that passage in 1 Corinthians 12, it says that God gives them as He determines, as He wills. He didn't give them evenly. He does not give them to everyone. But He gives them to individuals for the common good, but He does not give everybody the same thing. You would say, as you look up here, this situation with the three that were just up here, but Sammy, you should have been fair in church. You should have given everybody a $50 gas card. Well, I'm not. Because life's not fair. It just isn't. And when I look at you and I decide I don't like you because of what you have or how smart you are or your kids or whatever, every time that you start down that road, you need to pull back a little bit and say, you know, my problem really isn't with them. My problem isn't with my parents and my neighbors, and my problem isn't with my wealthier in-laws. Nobody here has any in-law issues, do you? It's not with them. I want to not like them. I want to think that they're my problem, that they would just stop and life would be so much better. But my problem is not with them. My problem is I'm mad at God because He's the one that handed it out. I think God owes me. Listen, if you can get this one truth kind of lodged into your heart, God can use this one single solitary thing to begin to really clean out the jealousy and the envy that's going on inside of you. Because when you have the guts, and I'm telling you, it takes some courage. When you have the guts to get on your knees by yourself to a holy God and say, God, I've never told you this before, but I think you ripped me off. I think God would welcome that kind of honest conversation. And I think that it's probably one that you need to have with you. Listen, God can handle it. He's probably looking forward to it because you've been blaming people and they're not your real problem. God would love to deal with what's going on in your heart, but until you're willing to be open and honest about it, and listen, I know God will not strike you dead for being honest with Him. Listen, if He was going to strike you dead, He would have struck you dead for all the other stuff you've already done. Not being honest with Him. Okay? I think God welcomes that. Because we're talking about a God of love and mercy who is allowing us to learn this today so that we can get a grip on this thing because it's been eating us up from the inside out. Because we don't like them. Because they're a Democrat. Because they're a Republican. And those wacko Tea Party people. And he's white and he's black and he's Latino. I don't like them. But the problem isn't with them. It really isn't. Somehow you're ricocheting an issue off of them because you have a problem with God. And you know what happens if you continue to let this go? I'll tell you what will happen. It'll affect every single relationship that you have. You cannot be a Christ follower or an effective Christian with this eating your heart up because the Bible says that God is love. And the Bible says that the number one way that we express Christianity is our love for one another. I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture. It's familiar. You've heard. If you've ever heard me do a wedding, you've heard this passage. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want you to hear this in contrast to what we've been talking about with regard to jealousy. Here's what Paul writes about love. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. Here it is. It does not say it. Envy. Love doesn't envy. In other words, you can't carry around a heart of envy and love at the same time. They repel one another. You cannot obey any of the passages of Scripture on love that say love is the supreme value. You can't obey that until you allow God to deal with this jealousy, to deal with this envy, and rid your heart of it. Because every time you see that person and you say, I just can't stand them, that's an issue not between you and them, but between you and God. You're upset with God because He ripped you off and He owes you and He didn't give you what He gave to somebody else. And until you bring that feeling to the surface where it really lies, you're never going to be able to love the way the Bible teaches us to love. He goes on, he says, love does not boast. Read it. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Here it is. Here Love does not delight in evil. Oh, he wrecked that beautiful car. No. Did you see her at the pool? No. Doesn't delight in evil, in somebody else's failure. But what does it do? It rejoices with the truth. I want to tell you something. In all the years of ministry that I've been involved with church, I've seen jealousy rip apart fathers and sons. I've seen jealousy tear sisters to where they won't talk to each other for years. I've seen jealousy rip apart mother-in-law and daughter-in-law to where the son cannot have communication with the two of them present. I have seen this jealousy thing go and go and go to where it infiltrates our workplace and all of our relationships, and nobody ever says, I'm just jealous. Nobody ever does this, but that's what drives the problem. Underlines it. It's the division. And God says, look, your problem isn't with them. Your problem is with me. God could have made you 6 feet tall. God could have made you able to dunk a basketball if he chose to. Right? God could have given you a better brain. He could have given you a different father. He could have given me a different dad. And so God says, listen, bring that to me. Bring it to me. I want to hear it. Because you're never going to be able to deal with the problem until you properly focus it where it belongs. And that is with me. Because we think that God owes us. And I know it sounds weird to say, but it's true. You just didn't know it. But now you do. My question is, are you willing to admit it and to embrace it? Because that's the first step of rooting this out of our heart. This thing called jealousy that has the potential to ruin every relationship that you have. So here, I'm going to wrap us up. Here are three things that I would suggest that you do. You're not going to like any of them. And I'm a realist. You're probably not going to do any of them. But my question is to you, do you want to clean up your heart? Then this is what you need to do. First of all, you need to acknowledge the truth that you think God owes you. Acknowledge that. Admit that. She bothers me, you owe me. It's your fault. He bothers me, it's your fault. You owe me. Right? I thought it was funny when he failed or when she failed, I think God owes me. So the first thing to do is to admit the problem. That's always the first step in dealing with anything, is coming clean with it. Number two, you're going to hate this one. Some of you need to go and you need to confess your jealousy to somebody. Yeah, right, Sammy. You're wasting the next 2 minutes. Am I? You want to get rid of it? You want to clean out your heart? Because isn't it true that you've been treating somebody weird and they don't know why you're treating them that way? There are some people that you just can't say anything positive about. There are some people that you can't talk or mention their name without sarcasm or a cutting remark. You almost find it impossible to say anything positive or complimentary about them. And you realize it's been there for a while. And I'm sure they probably realize it too. They just think you're an idiot. And they're just staying at arm's distance from you. But you know it's there. And if you think that you've mistreated someone, do. And this isn't always the reason. It isn't always the motive. But a lot of times it is. If you think you've mistreated somebody due to envy or jealousy, you need to confess it to them. You need to walk up to them. And you need to say, listen, I know that you maybe have been wondering what's wrong. And I got to tell you, I've done some soul searching. And the reality is, jealousy is affecting my attitude toward you. And I just want to ask if you'll forgive me. For some of you, you need to take it to that extreme, and that's pride swallowing right there. But it needs to happen. But the third thing is this, and the final thing is this, and this is the habit part. The thing that actually breaks the power of jealousy is this, and this is something I really wish that we as Christians and in the church could get a hold of, because it would go so far in helping our testimony to the world. It's this. Be happy for and celebrate the successes of people that you tend to be jealous of, and do that publicly. That will go so far in breaking the hold that jealousy has on you. Say to the person, you look great in that dress. Say, that's an awesome car. Wow, what a fantastic home God has blessed you with. Your kids that won that award, praise God for that. That's fantastic. Congratulations on your new job. That idea that you had, that was a great idea. You need to find with the people that kind of drive you crazy, you need to get real proactive with them and start publicly and out. what is going on in somebody else's life will break the power of jealousy in yours. It will. I promise you. And you know, I've heard people say things like this before. This isn't my original concept. I've heard this preached for years. And I've sat where you sat, and I'm thinking to myself, well, if I did that, that would be fake. That would be phony. That wouldn't be sincere. Yeah, it would, because isn't it true their idea was a good idea? And isn't it true their home is awesome? And isn't it true that they do drive a nice car? I mean, all those things are true. You can be truthful and honest, so just say it. The problem is you knew it to be true. You just didn't say it because your heart's been so messed up. What you're trying to do is saying, you know, listen, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life upset with God over what he chose to do and have it affect my relationships. I'm going to begin publicly celebrating other people's successes and celebrate with others the things that tend to kind of drive me crazy, because I am not going to allow my mind and I am not going to allow my heart and my words to be ruled by envy and by jealousy. I'm going to develop the habit of celebrating other people's successes, especially with those that I have the potential to be jealous of. Now I want to ask you a question. What would that look like in your life? I mean, practically speaking, let me tell you what it doesn't look like in your life, men and women. It doesn't look like this. It doesn't mean you come to here's what it doesn't mean. It means that you don't come to church and go out here in the foyer, and across the foyer you see them and you roll your eyes and turn the other, walk the other way. Really? Is that what Jesus would do? I mean, seriously. Where does that come from? It isn't coming from God. I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to live an envious, jealous life. I'm telling you, nobody wants that. And what the problem is, we've learned to camouflage it. I mean, how silly it is for us to allow our attitudes to be impacted by what others had or what we wish they, you know, we had. And because ultimately, our issue is with God, because God didn't give me something that he gave to somebody else. So I ask you again, how are things going in your heart? Maybe you need to come to God and say, God, I've been blaming them for my problem that I really have with you. And I'm going to get to the heart of the issue starting today. Maybe you need to go to somebody and apologize and say, I've been acting weird, and you know, this is hard for me to say, but I think I owe you an apology. Maybe you just need, from this day forward, to begin breaking the power of jealousy by celebrating other people's successes. Sharing in God's blessing of their life, because I'm going to tell you, that's what has the power to clean your heart. And that's what we're talking about. Matters of the heart. It's an inside-out kind of deal. We're going to sing a song, and we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. We're going to have a quick prayer. If you'd like to make a decision to join this church, come forward and maybe pray and confess and talk to God. Tell him you're angry at him for ripping you off, whatever it is that you need to do, then this is your opportunity to do that. Maybe you need to come and pray about the courage to go to someone and make an apology, or go to someone and say, you know, I'm going to make a concerted effort to break this jealousy by going to them and celebrating the successes that are going on in our life. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm happy for you when things go well for you. Shouldn't we all be that way? And we'll begin to break the powers that the world looks in at us and goes, that's why I don't want any part of church. So why not make a decision today? Maybe it's to be baptized. Maybe it's to rededicate your life. I don't know. But Father God, we come to you today. We thank you for your word. We realize how powerful it is, because every one of us in this room, have experienced jealousy. It's driven us a little crazy. We've snubbed somebody. Every one of us. Every one of us. We confess it. We've snubbed somebody. We've shunned somebody. We've held somebody in honor's business because, you know, we said we didn't like them. The reality is that we've kind of had an issue with you because you've slighted us in some way. God, we repent of that. Because just like there's always another level above us,